Welcome back into another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Corey Kinnon, alongside James Foster again. And today we are going to go ahead and take on a little mock draft here. A little mock draft action to get things moving along here. And yeah, we do it on a bi-weekly basis, so it's about time to do one. James, how are you feeling about this?
Doing great. Excited to get into it. I think there will probably be some new names, at least towards the second half of this.
Yeah, I think so too. So I'm really excited about this to roll in here and get this going. So I'm going to do odds. James is going to do evens here. First overall pick, New York Jets. New York Jets need a lot, but I also think they're a franchise you feel kind of good about drafting a quarterback into because they've invested so much in the offensive line. We'll see what happens with their coaching staff. I mean, they're trending towards a one and done. I think they're in New York, that coaching staff. Just with all of the sideline blunders kind of happening there with Aaron Glenn. But we'll see how that kind of turns out in New York. But so we're sitting here first overall. You know, I've been a Fernando Mendoza guy for quite some time, feeling a bit validated on that at the current moment. And so if I feel like if we're going quarterback first overall here, it's got to be Fernando Mendoza at this point in the cycle.
I like it. Yeah, I'd probably go with a different quarterback, but I think Mendoza would be my number two. And for the Browns, I'll go with my number one, which is going to be Ty Simpson. So you made it easy for me. Pleasure doing business with you.
There we go. Again, Ty Simpson, a massive riser. Very clean-cut prospect, accurate, decisive, on time. Lots to love there as well. It's weird seeing the Ravens up here, man.
And I think Simpson, I will say, I think he's an underrated athlete. Like, yeah, when he gets on the move, he's, you know, 60th percentile, 50th percentile by NFL standards, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I can dig it for sure. Baltimore Ravens. It's weird seeing the Ravens up here, man. But, oh, dude, I kind of want to do it. I think I'm going to do it. We've talked a lot about the regression of Roquan Smith on this podcast in the past. And I just released a film room today. We've talked about Arvell Reese as perhaps the best player in this draft class. I think I might be trending that direction. Again, they just traded Odafe Owe as well, so they could go Reuben Bain here too at three.
I thought that's where you were going to go.
I'm going to go Arvell Reese here, man.
I like it.
Arvell Reese to the Ravens. Let's go ahead and prepare for that Roquan decline as it's happening in real time. So,
yeah, you're not going to hear me hand-wringing about positional value when it comes to Arvell Reese or Jeremiah Love. I might a little bit when it comes to Caleb Downs, but I think those two are much better prospects. But, you know, in this class, like, I don't think you can – putting your personal philosophy on team building aside, I don't think you can really afford to – turn down good players at the top of this class.
Yeah, I agree.
Fourth for the Dolphins. Speaking of good players and the need for a lot of them, they need help in the trenches for sure. There's not a head coach available. Peter Woods or Reuben Bain would be kind of the chalk picks here. To me, like, Kenneth Grant has been awful this year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it should be expected that a first-year nose tackle is going to struggle. But I'm going to go with Peter Woods, I think. No, you know what? Reuben Bain, I think, is clearly the more impactful player. So, setting aside need, we're going to go with Reuben Bain. Yeah, I think you would regret it if you reached for need over the clear better player.
Yeah, and that moves us on to the New Orleans Saints here. And again, the New Orleans Saints need a lot as well. But part of me feels kind of good about Spencer Rattler right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say not a quarterback.
Yeah, part of me feels pretty good about Spencer Rattler right now to build around. You could go wide receiver here pretty easily because they have Chris Olave, and then it's Rashid Shaheed. So that's a, I feel like a pretty steep drop off from 1 to 2. So we could go Jordan Tyson right here and go Olave to Jordan Tyson. Who knows? They could trade Olave by the deadline here because he's got a contract extension coming up and there's a lot of play there. Brian Bresee's playing really good football for them as well right now on the defensive side of the ball. But their trench depth is on the defensive side of the ball is pretty poor. And so that leads me to the guy who I would have as the best player on the board right now would be Peter Woods to kind of pair there and add on to the defensive trenches here. So I'm going to go Peter Woods here to the Saints.
What have you thought about Peter Woods this year? I caught up on his tape yesterday.
He's still an impactful player. The production needs to come along at some point. Still a really impactful player, especially against the run. Yeah. You want the pass rush kind of production to where the rubber meets the road there a little bit with that, I think, though.
Yeah, that's how I felt. There's still just too many reps where he's getting stood up one-on-one against, like, a Syracuse guard.
Yeah.
Which I don't like to see for a top-five player. Mm-hmm. Got the Titans at 6. Unfortunately, Reuben Bain is off the board, but we're just going to go with Jordan Tyson, who is my number 2 player, my top-ranked receiver. Calvin Ridley is only seems to be a starting caliber receiver over the back 75% mm-hmm. of the season. And, you know, they need another option, but it wouldn't surprise me if Calvin Ridley got traded or something this offseason regardless. So rebuilding the offense, and we're starting with Jordan Tyson.
First receiver off the board. Moving on to Cincinnati. So Trey Hendrickson probably done in Cincinnati after this year. So we could look at edge. Keldrick Falk is the only name that I feel comfortable with taking in this edge class right now this early. We could also look at trenches here. And CeCe Moyinoa would probably be my pick if they went trenches. Would be the only one I would feel good about here. So this is coming down between Moyinoa and Falk, and I believe that just taking an edge earlier in the top 10 would be more impactful than a guy that I think is probably a guard at the NFL level, right? So,
yeah.
And again, Amarius Mims is kind of playing right tackle. You could flip one of those guys if you wanted to. I don't love the philosophy of flipping tackles on the offensive line either. So Keldrick Falk is going to be the guy I'm going to go with here at Cincinnati.
So I was catching up on pretty much all the edge rushers today, including Keldrick Falk. And it's really interesting. I actually think he's taken a step forward as a pass rusher. He's a lot more confident with his hands. Mm-hmm. He is getting pancaked like 5 times as often as he did last year. He looks lighter. I like accidentally flipped back to a 2024 play and noticeably like he was bigger on tape last year. So I'm wondering if he's dropped some weight to try to add more pass rushing juice. It's not like, you know, he hasn't been terrible against the run or anything, but I think he was arguably like the best run defender in the SEC last year, and that hasn't really been the case.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. I've kind of wanted the same thing. I haven't caught it back up. Is the alignment versatility still as all over the map as it was, or is he playing more exclusively wide this year?
I haven't looked at the numbers, but yeah, it's all over the place.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's rough if you're dropping weight and still playing a lot of 3-and-1. So, all right,
now this is where it gets tough because with Mendoza and Simpson are in the tier where if you need a quarterback, you take them wherever. I feel comfortable about that. Sellers and Dante Moore, I think you need a little bit more, not imagination, but it's just a little bit riskier. But I will go with Sellers here. The upside is tremendous. You know, we've talked extensively about Sellers, and you know, I think honestly the best course of action for his long-term development would be to go back to school, collect that NIL check. But assuming he enters the draft, the Raiders are going to take him here at 8.
I love it. All right, New York Giants. So the Giants just signed Javon Holland to a big contract last offseason. So I don't think they'd draft another split safety here in Downs this early. Offensive line, Jermaine Illuminor is just kind of getting up there, but he's a decent player. They also drafted Marcus Bowe, who might just be a swing tackle for them moving forward, at least in the immediate future. So I don't think right tackle's off the board here. So they could replace Jermaine Illuminor. I think Scadaboo, he's clearly not like a bell cow. But I think he's playing well enough that you don't like have to feel like you need to go get a guy like Jeremiah Lovett, ninth overall here as well.
I mean, could you imagine the Giants taking another running back in the top 10 after the
Well, there's part of me that thinks like Mara after losing out on Saquon and the fiasco that was on Hard Knocks might be like, no, get me another one. An owner override there, but
yeah, I think you're just going to try to speed run Scadaboo's career.
Yeah, I think so too. A CTE speed run that bad boy. So then this leaves me between Spencer Fano and CC Moinoa.
Bro, the answer is staring you right in the face.
Jennings Dunker.
What about Mansoor Delane here?
Mansoor Delane, I've thought about corner as well. I would still take Jermond McCoy first off the board if I went corner.
That's fair. Yeah, I have Delane and McCoy just right next to each other on my board, so I'm full on fence sitting with that one until McCoy comes back.
I could do McCoy. I think you gotta do a little bit for your young quarterback here. With that being said, let's go athletic upside and let's shoot for Spencer Fano, ninth overall here.
That would be a pretty nasty tackle duo if Spencer Fano hits. Cardinals picking at 10. This is kind of where the class thins out to an extent, but I'm going to just go best player available. Well, so I'm wanting to take Mekhi Lemon here because he's clearly the best player on my board. Next option would be Delane, but they don't really need a corner. Yeah, I'm going to go Love. Difference in grade between him and the rest of the class is extreme enough.
Love or Lemon? You said Lemon.
Lemon. Mekhi Lemon.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, when we take Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, we'll just flip him out there. Yeah, sounds good to me. Mekhi Lemon, 10th overall to the Texans, and I'm just going to take or to the Cardinals, and I'm just going to take Jeremiah Love to the Texans here. Right now, they're rolling with Nick Chubb, whatever life is left in Nick Chubb. Woody Marks is their young running back in the room, who's a 24-year-old rookie. Wait, no, I can't do that. Their offensive line's terrible. I can't do Jeremiah Love. We got to do offensive linemen here, and I think it's got to be CC Moinoa because that's the only other one on the board right now that warrants this high of a pick. So we're going to go CC Moinoa, actually, to the Houston Texans.
All right. Dallas Cowboys at 12. Man, part of me wants to just reach on a nose tackle right here, but we'll save big citrus for the second round. I'm going to go with Sonny Styles. They've kind of had this mold of like hybrid linebacker safety, and he's a converted safety, not really a hybrid, but that physical profile of just somebody with long arms patrolling the middle of the field, that feels like the Cowboys have always had one of those for the past decade. So yeah. Sonny Styles, I mean, if it wasn't for Arvell Reese, we'd be talking about him as linebacker one, I think.
He had a really good game against Illinois. There was a rep. I did that film room on Arvell Reese for my Substack, and there was a coverage rep that I got like was out of my seat for. And it's like, Arvell Reese looks awesome. Like the instincts here, he's sitting on the hashes and hook curl. And I was like, wait, that's Sonny Styles. And I was
that's
like,
so funny.
Just take everything that I said and apply it to Sonny Styles. So, Sonny Styles played extremely well at a legitimate 6'4", 230 in the athlete that he is as well is awesome.
I think he's, he's 6'0", 4'3", 237.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Over 33-inch arms. Yeah.
Converted safety. Athletic as hell. Yeah, you can't go really wrong there. Carolina Panthers. They drafted Tet McMillan in the first round last year. I don't think that would elude them from taking another one this year. Rico Dowdle is their leading rusher right now, with Chuba Hubbard kind of sidelined. They drafted two young edge rushers last year. You feel good about that? I don't feel good about any offensive linemen right here, with guard being a need. This is probably a BPA team right now. They're starting Mike Jackson opposite of J.C. Horn, so that's pretty alarming to me. Like, the alarm bells are going off there. And at safety, they are starting Nick Scott and Trayvon Moehrig. I like Moehrig. I don't like Scott. But I don't think you're drafting a split safety to replace Nick Scott either. So I think corner's the move here. And if I'm going best player on my board here, we're going Jermond McCoy to the Panthers. And we're going to lock up J.C. Horn and Jermond McCoy there as that cornerback duo in Carolina.
I like it. All right. Kansas City Chiefs at 14. How the mighty have fallen. Oh, man. Part of me wants a lockdown corner here, but they need some pass rushing juice. This is going to be the first quote-unquote crazy pick, but I'm going David Bailey at 14.
He's got the juice, that's for sure.
If you just, again, like, if you just accept that he is only a pass rusher, and you just, like, you get the okay from your owner,
mm-hmm.
I still think it can be worth it. Because yeah. he doesn't lose reps, like, ever. The burst, the lateral quickness, which actually surprised me this year. And then, like, he's got a pass rushing plan that is tied together perfectly. I'm a huge fan of David Bailey. And whereas we talked about how Peter Woods has, you know, he hasn't fallen to the same extent that Clemson has, TJ Parker has for me. He is out of my top 32, late second round grade. And continuing to decline as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
When he isn't going up against Pittsburgh's tackles from last year, it's a much greater challenge for him to try to win the corner.
All right. Washington Commanders. This is where it gets interesting. And I think I have a name in mind that I want to draft here, and I'm just going to check their depth chart, make sure I'm not overlooking something, because there's part of me that says that Caleb Downs would fit really well with Dan Quinn. But I don't even know who they have starting at safety right now. So that's what I want to check real fast, and I don't want to double book if they got Quan Martin and Jeremy Reeves. And Jeremy Reeves is a lifelong special teamer, and Quan Martin is more of like a hybrid nickel apex kind of guy. So I could easily go Caleb Downs here, because, again, I think that fits the type of rotational player that Dan Quinn would love, or does love, and gets the most out of. But also Terry McLaurin, his contract is, they re-upped it, but how long-term are we still talking about Terry McLaurin there? And outside of Terry McLaurin, there's Deebo Samuel, same contract situation, and in my opinion, a declining player. So there's a part of me that I'm torn between two Buckeyes here. Do I go Carnell Tate or do I go Caleb Downs here to the Commanders? What would you do in this situation? I'll lean on your advice here.
So I would go Carnell Tate. And it's a pretty simple, it's just really like the positional value. I think in a tiebreaker, that's where I would go there. Let's see. Carnell Tate is 12th on my board, and then I've got Caleb Downs 17th. So not a huge difference in their overall grades.
Chris Bell would be a great Deebo, like a great Deebo swap out too.
I've got
Washington,
Chris Bell 15th. So
yeah, we'll go Carnell Tate there. Then that brings the Chicago Bears up on the board here.
All right, Kenyon Sadiq.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were being serious. I was like, all right, let's roll with it.
Okay, so this has to be the Jeremiah Love spot, right? I feel like Yeah, I'm going Jeremiah Love here. Okay.
Again,
yeah, I think like, any mock draft, it's either going to be Houston or Chicago is the Jeremiah Love landing spot.
I think so too. DeAndre Swift is playing pretty good football, but Ben Johnson comes from a regime that drafted Jahmyr Gibbs very early, and so I would agree with that. All right, Los Angeles Rams here. I think this is where Dante Moore comes off the board. Matt Stafford died weeks ago, so we got to replace Matthew Stafford, and I think this is where Dante Moore comes off the board here.
So there's going to be one team, and we don't exactly know who it is yet, that is really invested in Dante Moore panning out, because there's kind of like a musical chairs situation where there's not enough quarterbacks for all the quarterback needy teams. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I don't know. I guess after, say, Dante Moore is in the 2027 class, my next quarterback would be Garrett Nussmeier.
Mm-hmm.
I've got him all the way down at 47th. So yeah, well,
yeah,
fingers crossed. Minnesota Vikings. Let's see. This could be a Caleb Downs spot. I feel like I don't need to overthink this one. I mean, a weapon that, you know, has it's interesting because he's not, in some ways he is versatile, in some ways he's very not versatile, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree.
They play him, they use him kind of all over the field, but he's sort of doing the same thing. I don't know. He's probably the most dependable player in this class. I think I saw him bust his first coverage the other week. Like, I think you're just getting Buda Baker almost guaranteed. So going with Caleb Downs here.
Bang. All right, Buffalo Bills, man, their safety play is horrid. Horrid safety play. But I don't feel, and this safety big board is out of whack in my opinion here. It would be Kamari Ramsey who I would take, but I don't feel good about taking Kamari Ramsey top 20. Emmanuel McNeil Warren would be probably next up, who's 129th on this board. And again, I don't feel good about taking him top
129.
20. And then Jelani McDonald from Texas would probably be the next. Yeah, I don't.
I gotta watch him.
I don't feel like I would feel comfortable taking any of those guys top 20. So now we're talking about their biggest needs here on PFF's big board being edge, linebacker, defensive back. They just drafted Maxwell Harrison first round last year, so I don't think this is a Mansoor Delane spot. Again, the edges, man, it kind of falls off after you take David Bailey off the board. We've talked about TJ Parker. We've had a lot of conversations about LT Overton. Quincy Rhodes has kind of not played super well the past couple weeks. Mateo Uiagalelei, we've had plenty of conversation about. I think that leads me to linebacker and C.J. Allen here to the Buffalo Bills, 19th overall.
Yep, coming off his best game of the season.
Yep.
All right, this is either going to be the Kenyon Sadiq spot or the Chris mm-hmm. Bell spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fit. Most people might go with Kenyon Sadiq here because of Sean Payton's comments about wanting a joker and everything, but that's great for him. I think Chris Bell is a much better and more impactful player, and I'm going to go with Chris Bell.
Love it. I was going to take Chris Bell next pick if you didn't take him. So 2021 Cleveland Browns, their wide receiver room is abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, who's hurt and on IR, Jamari Thrash, Isaiah Bond, that's it. Like that's their wide receiver room. I don't love that three wide receivers just came off the board already here.
It'd be a lot easier to take Chris Brazel if he was coming off a good game.
Right, I know. That's the thing, too. So I don't feel good about that. Oh, boy. Caden Proctor has stabilized a little bit. I still would feel really bad about taking him at 21 overall.
I thought this past game was kind of, I think, probably his worst game from this good stretch, you know?
Yeah, that's not great, because I didn't really love the Vanderbilt tape either. Boy. Kind of hamstrung here. Boy, I'm just, like, scrolling and hoping I see something.
I'm trying to think of suggestions, but I don't even have anyone.
I mean, I would feel at this point, I feel like I would reach on Caleb Lomu if I was going tackle over anybody else, just because I would take a shot on the athletic upside. I think that's, I don't feel good about it, but I think that's what I'm going to do here. I mean, there's a part of me, David Njoku's in a contract year too. They run a lot of 12 personnel. Pair Kenyon Sadiq and Harold Fannin Jr. Like, there's part of me that thinks, like, if we need a pass catcher and a playmaker, then I just take the best one there and Kenyon Sadiq. But literally, they might have to replace all five of their offensive linemen this offseason. So yeah. I think you got to go offensive tackle. Again, I'm not ever going to reach for a player.
But it's not like you're...
I think Lomu's the pick here. I'm going to go Caleb Lomu, 21 overall. I don't feel great about it, but that's where we're at.
All right, LA Rams. This would have been a great Dante Moore spot.
They already took Dante Moore.
Oh, you took him with the Rams, right?
Yeah, they've got two picks. They've got the Falcons pick, too.
There we go.
Yeah.
So now we can focus on the rest of the roster. I've got Mansoor Delane, my seventh-ranked player, has been sitting here this whole time.
Yeah.
And I know the Rams are allergic to investing in their defensive backfield, but we're taking Mansoor Delane at 22, and they're going to have to suck it up.
I mean, they desperately need to invest in their secondary because it's awful right now. So, all right, Lions here. They hit on some young interior offensive linemen in a big way, man, with Christian Mahogany and Tate Ratledge playing pretty well. Taylor Decker still is at the end of the line here. They did draft the international pathway players guy, Giovanni Manu, in the third round a couple years ago. Do you feel good about that? They drafted Tylaik Williams last year. Tyrion Arnold is a pretty big health issue on and off. So I think they could go corner. But again, I think we will draft Keith Abney here to the Detroit Lions.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
So he would be your cornerback three then?
At this point, yeah, probably. Avion Terrell too, but Terrell or Abney are pretty tight right there, I think.
Yeah, I still have Xavier Scott, but I haven't adjusted for injury.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably where I would go. All right, Seattle Seahawks. We just need somebody who is not going to get in the way of the best quarterback in the NFL. And I think we need someone who is going to get in the way of the best quarterback in the NFL in the form of blocking for him. So we're going to prioritize the offensive line. Unfortunately, most of the good ones are taken, as we have established. Let's see. Connor Liu would be such an easy pick for some of these, but he just hasn't played well. He hasn't played bad. He hasn't played well. Like, have you watched? I mean, yeah, we've talked about it. Like, mm-hmm. You watch an entire Connor Liu game and it's like, did he have one impact play?
Yeah.
In either direction. And it's the scheme too. It's a side note, but yeah, they really protect the offensive linemen. What about Caden Proctor and moving him to guard?
I've had that thought for quite a while.
Yeah. We're taking Caden Proctor, teaching him guard.
Back-to-back first-round guards for the Seahawks here. But yeah. Again, pretty abysmal otherwise. All right, Patriots, wide receiver. Like, we got a lockdown wide receiver here. We're going to take a shot here. Again, I think it was John Ledyard who tweeted out a graphic of, like, the NFL's leading receivers right now, and it is all very savvy, refined dudes who know how to win with leverage against zone coverage, find green grass, make plays after the catch, right? Like the Jackson Smith and Jigba, the Amon-Ra St. Brown kind of mold of wide receiver. Like, they're dominating the NFL right now. And that is going to lead me to Jeremy Bernard to the New England Patriots.
I thought you were going to go KC, but
I thought about it. But I love Bernard's makeup, dude. I love the body type. He's so smooth, refined.
Yeah.
I like Bernard.
He's just the football player version of like a 3.5 GPA.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
Okay, the LA Chargers at 26. What are you thinking here?
Chargers, I mean,
have
all
we taken
of,
Kenyon Sadiq yet?
We have not. I mean, that would be an interesting pick. Their entire offensive line is also beat up.
That's what I'm trying to think about, what positions are bad and what positions are just injured. Again, Connor Lue would be nice here.
They just traded for Odafe Owe, who's got roster. He's got years on his contract still.
I like Odafe Owe.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my like edge rusher studies over the last two seasons, where I chart all their pressures, and I think Odafe Owe has been one of the steadiest improvers year to year. Yeah. So I like that trade. Do we go Avion Terrell here? They've got a lot of young corners, but still have Dante Jackson on the field. Yeah, let's go Avion Terrell.
Okay.
Him and Peter Woods are two of the very few bright spots. Although
yes.
The defense has picked it up over the last couple games.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the non-draft eligible guys that were kind of causing them to lose games have picked their play up.
Yeah. All right, San Francisco. I want to replace Cole Mckivitz year in and year out, but they just extended his contract, so it's not happening. Center is a need here, but again, we just had the Connor Lue conversation, and I think San Francisco is a scheme that would fit Connor Lue very well. So I would feel a little bit better about drafting Connor Lue to San Francisco at 27, like late in the first, especially in this draft class. So I would feel pretty comfortable with that. Brandon Ayuk, it feels like they've regretted that extension ever since it happened. They traded Debo. Ricky Pearsall's hurt. Like, there's a lot going on there, too. So, like, I think Casey Concepcion would be a decent fit in San Francisco, too. That's about the only other receiver that I feel really good about. George Kittle just got a contract extension. We're not talking anything there. You could maybe talk yourself into Garrett Nussmeier, but again, they just paid Brock Purdy, so I don't think they're looking to get out of that immediately. Boy, they just invested a ton of assets in their defensive line last year too, so I don't think defensive line is the. You
I
know what,
like,
man?
Receivers. I feel like receivers the clear place.
You think
go.
So?
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you feel good about thinking of? I mean, Concepcion, I think, would be the San Francisco receiver, like. All of the crossers, all of the green grass they try to get their guys into, they clearly prioritize getting guys into space, right?
Honestly, Casey Concepcion's been burning a hole in my pocket for the last few picks. So
yes, I think that's the move. I think that's the receiver we take here for that specific scheme. Yep, we'll do it. San Francisco, Casey Concepcion.
Eagles at 28. I kind of want to replace Andrew Mukuba. Not actually, but he had one of the worst reps I've ever seen, where he like got his ankles broken and then tripped up Cooper DeJean and then missed the tackle to give up a touchdown. Basically just messed up in every single phase of the play. But we are not spending a first round pick on that. It would never happen, but I would consider a quarterback maybe. But
jeez.
Well, I'll spare you the discourse. They don't need another receiver. They do, but like they don't need another receiver to not throw the ball to.
Right. I feel like edge is a need because Za'Darius Smith just retired. That was just a 1-year deal as well. Brandon Graham retired last year. But again, did you feel good about any of these edges that are on the board?
So I just charted a bunch of the edge rushers. The two most one-dimensional edge rushers in this class, as far as having one move that they use like half of the time, are Mateo Uiagalelei with the cross chop. 46.6% of his wins over the last 2 years have been with the cross chop. And Quincy Rhodes Jr. with the spin. You got Joshua Joseph's too early for him. LT Overton, we've discussed. I just don't think this is really the spot for Edge. But what is this the spot for?
This could be a Sadiq pick. You get a pass catcher and Dallas Sadiq's Goddard's
still
kind
on the
of
board.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Sadiq. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And again, they do a lot of power. And so having a tight end who could block as well as is all right, Dallas, I think this is easy for me. You talked about wanting to take a nose tackle really early, but you wouldn't do it where we pick Sonny Styles, but I would pick do I go Amari Washington or do I go Christian Miller? I was so set on
Christian Miller had some nice reps last week.
He did, and that's why I'm leaning there because he can two gap like an MF-er. Yeah, let's do Christian Miller. Amari Washington's enticing, but he's mostly flashes right now. I want to see more down to down.
Amari Washington seems like number one overall player in next year's summer scouting.
Yeah.
So the Steelers lost out on the good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I might have considered Josh Hoover here until I found out that he was 6 foot flat.
Yeah. The quote I got from scouts about that situation is really funny. The scout told me scouts go in there and they think he's the kicker. This is kind of like the body type that he has.
That's I'm going to go with Casey Concepcion here.
We already took him to the Niners.
Oh, shoot.
27. Yeah.
That's an organizational error. Okay, now a really tough decision if I want to go receiver between Denzel Boston and Chris Brazel. This could be a Kamari Ramsey spot, potentially. They've got...
They are starting Juan Thornhill.
Sean Elliott. Yeah, let's take Kamari Ramsey, safety out of USC.
Love it. Buccaneers. So Jamel Dean's off the team after this year, so corner's a pretty obvious need. Benjamin Morrison can't stay healthy, going back to his final season at Notre Dame, and it's carried over to the NFL. So I think corner could be a real nice pick here, but like again, we're sitting at corner. Do we like is Colton Hood worthy of a first round pick? Is he gonna declare as well? Will Lee. I could go Will Lee here.
Whoa, is that Chris Johnson up there? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they've got Chris Johnson in the top 60 on their board. Will Lee would be a decent pick here. Xavier Scott would also be a decent pick here. Although they've got Jacob Parrish bowling out as that nickel.
Do you like AJ Harris?
I do
not get it at all.
I like AJ Harris when his eyes are like in buzz, like when he's buzzing or in press man. He can't turn and run though at all.
Yeah,
he can't turn and
he's
run.
He's not fast.
No, no. So I think corners or linebacker. They're pretty shallow at linebacker too. But again, I don't feel good about any of these linebackers in the first round. So I'd punt there. I think I got to go corner because there's no tight end that I would take this early with Sadiq. I'd probably take Sadiq if he would have been on the board here. Yeah, let's go corner here and let's go with Willie the Third to the Buccaneers.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Jacob Parrish is playing great for them in the nickel.
He is. He is indeed.
Indianapolis Colts.
And that brings us to the Super Bowl champion Indianapolis Colts here in this exercise.
So they win the Super Bowl, so I guess we're not replacing Daniel Jones.
Oh, dude, he's going to get paid a lot of money this offseason at this pace.
Yeah. Man, this... It's not great podcasting, but this class really just dries up
yes.
after like 22. They're one of the few teams that don't really need a receiver. This could be an Amari Washington spot. I still feel like first round is mm-hmm. a tad early. What are you thinking?
Both of their defensive tackles are in their 30s. DeForest yeah. Buckner and why can't I Grover Stewart? This feels like a team that could redshirt Caleb Banks if he needs to redshirt that foot a little bit longer as well. But the explosive flashes, like the explosive dominance of Caleb Banks is like, oh man, especially at 32. Like that's where I would say like, even if you got to put him on ice for a little bit as a rookie, I would feel really comfortable taking Caleb Banks at 32.
I'm going to go with Amari Washington. I think he's a better player. Banks is really interesting. I mean, I've got him with an early fourth round grade right now. So he's going to fall into that category of players that I would just let somebody else take. And it's unfortunate because I really like his upside. I just didn't think he proved enough on tape last year outside of a couple games.
His speed to power is really good, dude. Like the highs are so high with him that I love it. But all right, there's a new first round mock. We'll go through it real fast again here. First overall, Fernando Mendoza to the New York Jets. Second overall, Ty Simpson to the Cleveland Browns. Arvell Reese, the first defensive player off the board here to the Baltimore Ravens. Third overall. Again, it's so weird seeing the Ravens up there right now, but Dolphins take Reuben Bain Jr. fourth overall. Peter Woods to the Saints fifth overall. Jordan Tyson, wide receiver out of Arizona State, to the Titans sixth overall. Keldrick Falk to the Bengals seventh. Lenore Sellers to the Raiders. Spencer Fano to the Giants. Jeremiah Love to the Cardinals. CeCe Moinoa to the Texans. Sonny Styles to the Cowboys. Jermon McCoy to the Panthers. David Bailey to the Chiefs. Carnell Tate to the Commanders. That's Jeremiah Love. We messed up there. 10 is Mekhi Lemon to the Cardinals. 16 is Jeremiah Love to the Bears. 17 is Dante Moore to the Rams. 18, Caleb Downs to the Vikings. 19, C.J. Allen to the Bills. Chris Bell to the Broncos at 20. Caleb Lomu to the Browns at 21. I said Browns twice. Chris Bell to the Broncos at 20. Mansoor Delane to the Rams at 22. Keith Abney to the Lions at 23. Caden Proctor to the Seahawks at 24 as a guard. Jeremy Bernard to the New England Patriots at 25. Avion Terrell to the Chargers at 26. Casey Concepcion to the Niners at 27. Kenyon Sadiq to the Eagles at 28. Christian Miller to the Cowboys at 29 with the Green Bay pick there. Kamari Ramsey to the Steelers at 30. Will Lee III to the Buccaneers at 31. And Amari Washington to the Colts at 32. All right, James, we got to talk, though. Which one's where's your favorite pick out of all of these?
Favorite pick? Honestly, I think Caleb Downs to the Vikings. I mean, that's an easy favorite.
Yeah.
But... Keep scrolling. Ooh, my favorite pick is going to be Jermon McCoy to the Panthers, because you get that duo with J.C. Horn. That's elite.
Yeah, I do love that, man. I love that as well. For me, I think it's I think it's Chris Bell to the Broncos, man. Like, that's a really fun fit. You can get really creative with how you get him the football. C.J. Allen to the Bills is another fun one, too. 1920 right there is a really fun back-to-back selection right there.
What's your least favorite pick? Where, like, if you were a fan of that team and they did that on the first night of the draft, you'd be the most pissed.
Caleb Lomu to the Browns, probably. I said it when I picked it. I was like, I don't feel great about that at all. So Caleb Lomu to the Browns at 21 is definitely up there.
like right now it would be Dante Moore to the Rams, because I would be so nervous with this sample size, you know, like,
yeah,
if we didn't get any more games after this.
Yeah. And that makes total sense to me as well. Honestly, I think we did a pretty bang up job on this. I think once you get down to like 30 and 32, you could 30 through 32, you could find some room to complain to. Again, like, I didn't love picking Willie to the Buccaneers at 31, but yeah, there's not too much I would complain with here.
I could honestly, I wonder if there's another corner. I wonder if like Colton Hood, potentially Chris Johnson or like Jermaine Matthews overtakes Will Lee.
Jermaine Matthews is playing really good football. That was good. Yeah. That's a good shout. Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's another mock draft in the books for us. Again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate the support. This thing continues to grow, and it's been a blast to do it. So,
and apologies for the audio issues. Last episode, I sat down to edit it. Thought I was just like innocently gonna, I'll just record an episode with my headphones. And for anybody that made it through that whole episode, I owe you money.
All right. Well, until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. See ya.